Could two simple things like getting regular vaccinations and good sleep help you avoid Alzheimer's disease? Two recent articles offer surprising new research findings related to lowering risk for Alzheimer's disease. The first, from Next Avenue, published July 30, 2020, new research finds flu and pneumonia vaccines may lower Alzheimer's risk, by Sherry Snelling. The second, published in Time magazine August 6, 2020, a rinsing of the brain. New research shows how sleep could ward off Alzheimer's, by Alice Park. And I will begin with new research finds flu and pneumonia vaccines may lower Alzheimer's risk. With vaccines top of the mind at White House and across the globe during the coronavirus pandemic, two studies presented this week at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference, AAIC 2020, shed new light on how vaccines for flu and pneumonia may lower risk for Alzheimer's disease. Both studies were previewed in AAIC prior to peer-reviewed journal publication. The first study, conducted at the McGovern Medical School at the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston, was done because previous research had shown a possible connection between vaccines and reducing or delaying cognitive decline. Until now, no comprehensive analysis had been done on this theory. Researchers analyzed a data set of 9,066 American health records and found annual flu vaccinations correlated with a 17% lower prevalence of Alzheimer's, with an additional 13% reduction for patients who continued to receive the vaccinations over a period of years. The research also indicated those who received their first flu vaccine before age 60 had a stronger protective association than those who got it after 70. The second study, conducted by the Duke University Social Science Research Institute, looked at the pneumococcal vaccine, typically given after age 65 to fight infections such as pneumonia, meningitis, and sepsis. Researchers looked at 5,146 participants over 65 from Cardiovascular Health Study and found if the vaccination is given between age 65 and 75, there is a reduced risk of developing Alzheimer's by 25 to 30% after adjusting for sex, race, birth cohort, education and smoking, and the connection to genetic risk factors. The results of these studies show vaccines are strongly associated with lower prevalence of dementia, said Maria Carrillo, Alzheimer's Association Chief Science Officer, in an email interview. We also know that infections like the flu and pneumonia can have deleterious effects on overall health and even cognition. More research is needed to determine conclusively if getting vaccinated for flu or pneumonia on its own can reduce risk of Alzheimer's. According to Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, estimates, the last two flu seasons have seen 39 to 56 million Americans infected each year with the virus. People over 75 have the highest mortality risk from flu each year. That's the same demographic group most vulnerable to COVID-19. Yet, according to the CDC, during the last flu season, less than half U.S. adults, only about 45%, got the flu shot. Among populations with higher risk for Alzheimer's, such as African Americans and Hispanics, both groups were less likely than whites to get an annual flu shot. The U.S. Office of Minority Health reports reluctance for flu vaccinations among African Americans, who typically cite concerns over safety and fear of negative side effects, while many older Latinos have less access to vaccination, often based on language barriers. Vaccinations for pneumonia are a different story. Healthy People 2020, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, reports from 2015 to 2016, pneumococcal vaccination increased roughly 3% to about 67% among adults 65 and older. Carrillo noted that racial differences were not accounted for in this particular study on flu vaccination and Alzheimer's prevalence, so no conclusions can be drawn on the relationship between race, vaccination, and Alzheimer's risk. But she did emphasize that African Americans are twice as likely and Hispanics 1.5 times as likely to develop dementia than their white counterparts. While flu shots may offer prevention for both flu and Alzheimer's risk among older Americans, the other population group needing to receive an annual flu shot are the almost 42 million family caregivers for older loved ones. Some 16 million of them are caring for people with Alzheimer's or dementia. Since the onset of the coronavirus, concerns about virus transmission to vulnerable older adults has created a newfound adherence to public health safety. Healthcare professionals hope this practice translates as well to caregivers getting an annual flu shot. Medical staff all get a series of vaccinations for infections, disease including rubella, tuberculosis, hepatitis, and flu, said Dr. Lon Schneider, director of the USC Alzheimer's Disease Research Center in Los Angeles. Evidence shows vaccines are important for maintaining health and preventing illness, which is vitally important for family caregivers. These studies show that adherence to prevention pays off both in less incidence of flu and possibly a decreased risk of developing Alzheimer's. Schneider added, numerous research studies are indicating up to 40% of dementia cases could be potentially mitigated or reduced if people focused on overall health, such as treating hypertension, addressing hearing loss, reducing exposure to air pollution toxins, preventing obesity and diabetes. It's not just vaccines, but all these factors combined that provide a whole package of better health and the ability to possibly prevent or delay diseases like Alzheimer's, making the case for vaccines. In a separate study published this week in Annals of Internal Medicine, Daniel Slepsholovich, Deputy Chief of Medicine at Israel's Tel Aviv Medical Center and co-author of the research, found vaccines are remarkably safe. Slepsholovich and his co-authors analyzed data over nearly 2 decades, 1996 to 2015, covering 57 vaccines approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to determine the safety of the vaccines post-approval and any safe label warnings or changes over time. Compared to pharmaceuticals and medical devices, the authors noted vaccines are remarkably safe and rightly considered as one of the greatest achievements of biomedical science and public health. But the paper also noted that in recent years, vaccination rates have fallen, partly driven by reduced public trust and parental concerns over safety. Healthy People 2020 has stated its goal is to have 70% of the population over 6 months old vaccinated every year for flu. Vaccinations overall, starting with routine immunizations in childhood, save 33,000 lives every year and prevent 14 million cases of disease. This also reduces direct health care costs by $9.9 billion and saves $33.4 billion in indirect costs. Experts stress the importance of flu vaccine in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, in a recent interview with MarketWatch, said, "We're telling people that when the flu vaccine becomes available, make sure you get vaccinated so that you could at least blunt the effect of one of those two potential respiratory infections." Repurposing of existing vaccines may be a promising approach to Alzheimer's disease prevention. Svetlana Yugensteva, PhD Associate Research Professor in the Biodemography of Aging Research Unit, BARU, at Duke University Social Science, Research Institute and team investigated associations between pneumococcal vaccine with and without an accompanying seasonal flu shot and the risk of Alzheimer's disease among 5,146 participants age 65 plus from cardiovascular health study. The team also took into account a known genetic risk factor for Alzheimer's, the RS2075650G allele in the TOMM40 gene. The researchers found that pneumococcal vaccinations between age 65 and 75 reduced risk of developing Alzheimer's by 25 to 30% after adjusting for sex, race, birth cohort, education, smoking, and the number of G alleles. The largest reduction in the risk of Alzheimer's, up to 40%, was observed in people vaccinated against pneumonia who were non-carriers of the risk gene. Total number of vaccinations against pneumonia and flu between ages 65 and 75 was also associated with a lower risk of Alzheimer's. However, the effect was not evident for the flu shot alone. Sherry Snelling is a gerontologist, consultant, and national speaker specializing in caregiver wellness and is CEO and founder of Caregiving Club and author of A Cast of Caregivers, Celebrity Stories to Help You Prepare to Care. Next, a rinsing of the brain. New research shows how sleep could ward off Alzheimer's disease by Alice Park. Each of us carries around a 3-pound universe that orchestrates everything we do, directing our conscious actions of moving, thinking, and sensing, while also managing body functions we take for granted, like breathing, keeping our hearts beating, and digesting our food. It makes sense that such a bustling world of activity would need rest, which is what, for decades, doctors thought sleep was all about. Slumber was when all the intricate connections and signals involved in the business of shuttling critical brain chemicals around went off duty, taking time to recharge. We're all familiar with this restorative role of sleep for the brain. Pulling an all-nighter or staying awake during a red-eye flight can not only change our mood, but also affect our ability to think clearly until, at some point, it practically shuts down on its own. When we don't get enough sleep, we're simply not ourselves. Yet exactly what goes on in the sleeping brain has been a biological black box. Do neurons stop functioning altogether, putting up the cellular equivalent of a do not disturb sign? And what if a sleeping brain is not just taking some well-deserved time off, but also using the downtime to make sense of the world by storing away memories and captured emotions? And how precisely is it doing that? In the past 5 years, brain researchers have begun to expose a hidden world of chemical reactions, fluids flowing into and out of the brain, and the busy work of neurons that reveal the sleeping brain is as industrious as the waking one. Without good quality sleep, those critical activities don't take place. And as a consequence, we don't just feel tired and cranky, but the processes that lead to certain diseases may even get seeded. One of the reasons we sleep, it now seems, might be to keep a range of illnesses, including cognitive diseases like Alzheimer's and other dementias, at bay. Adam Spira, a professor in the Department of Mental Health at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, puts it, "Sleep really should not be seen as a luxury or a waste of time. People joke that they'll sleep when they're dead, but they might end up dead sooner if they don't sleep." Blame polymath Benjamin Franklin, who averred, "There will be sleeping enough in the grave." Ever since a culture of industry has rooted itself in the human psyche, embedding the idea that activity, even well into the night, is valued far more than daily rest. In part, that's because while medical experts have long recommended 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night, including some time spent in deep or non-REM sleep, exactly what our bodies are doing during that time is less clear. Now, thanks to newer technologies for measuring and tracking brain activity, scientists have defined the biological processes that occur during good quality sleep, that they seem to be essential for lowering the risk of brain disorders, from the forgetfulness of senior moments to the more serious memory loss and cognitive decline of dementia and Alzheimer's disease, may convince the Franklins of the world that sleep is not just for the lazy. Experts in the field of Alzheimer's are especially excited. Since there are currently no treatments for the neurodegenerative disease, and sleep-based strategies might open new ways to slow its progression in some and even prevent it in others. There has been a real renaissance in research around the connection between sleep, sleep quality, sleep disturbance, and dementia, especially Alzheimer's dementia, said Dr. Christine Yaffe, professor of psychiatry, neurology, and epidemiology at the University of California, San Francisco. The National Institutes of Health is currently funding at least half a dozen new studies exploring how sleep may impact dementia, and the Alzheimer's Association created a committee to promote more research in the area. For decades, researchers thought sleep disturbances were a symptom or a consequence of Alzheimer's. They assumed that as clumps of amyloid proteins built up, then started to strangle and kill nerve cells, particularly in the memory regions of the brain, changes in sleep followed. Even older people without Alzheimer's can experience changes in their sleep patterns, sleeping less and more lightly as they age. So experts didn't initially take these shorter and more fragmented sleep cycles seriously. But in the 1980s and 1990s, scientists began studying whether there was any causal relationship between sleep patterns and cognitive test performance among older people without Alzheimer's, by studying them over longer periods of time. Those studies suggested that people with poor sleep habits tended to perform worse on cognitive tests over time. That got people thinking about the possibility that sleep could be a risk factor in dementia, said Spira. Yaffe's recent research, which focused on a group of healthy older women, supported the idea that what seemed to matter in terms of dementia risk was the quality as opposed to the quantity of sleep. Those who reported spending less time in bed, actually sleeping, and more time tossing and turning and waking up throughout the night were more likely to develop any type of dementia 5 to 10 years later than those who got better quality sleep. Others focused on explaining the biology behind the sleep-dementia connection. At this point, Alzheimer's researchers knew that a buildup in the brain of amyloid and other proteins called tau were key features of the disease. At Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, David Holzman, chair of the Department of Neurology, launched studies to track exactly where in the brain this amyloid originated. His search led him to nerve cells, which release fragments of the protein as they go about their normal business. Typically, these protein byproducts, sometimes called amyloid beta, are released into the circulatory system where they float around without causing problems. But in some cases, they remain in the brain, where they morph into a sort of molecular Velcro, sticking together to form amyloid plaques, which in turn damage neurons. But what controls the production of amyloid beta? In a 2009 study on mice, Holzman found that while the animals were awake, levels of the protein fragments circulating in their brains surged. When the mice slept, the levels dropped dramatically, especially during the deeper stages of non-REM sleep. And when he and his team deprived the mice of non-REM sleep, more amyloid built up in their brains over time than in mice who got regular nightly rest. He saw similar changes when he compared amyloid in spinal fluid of people who were well-rested versus sleep-deprived. It was a revelation for Alzheimer's experts. That showed experimentally, for the first time, that there was an effect of sleep deprivation on Alzheimer's disease pathology, said Spira. And that's what really flipped everything on its head. In 2013, to test whether the same effect occurred in people, Spira studied brain scans of 70 healthy adults with an average age of 76. Indeed, the scans of those who reported less or compromised sleep showed higher levels of amyloid plaques than the scans of those who slept better. A year later, a biological explanation for why poor sleep might be linked to Alzheimer's emerged. Dr. Macon Nittergard, co-director of the Center for Translational Neuromedicine at the University of Rochester, identified a previously ignored army of cells that is called to duty during sleep in the brains of mice and acts as a massive pump for sloshing fluid into and out of the brain. This plumbing system, which she dubbed the glymphatic system, it works in parallel to the lymph system that drains fluid from other tissues in the body, seemed to perform a neural rinsing of the brain, swishing out the toxic proteins generated by active neurons, including those amyloid fragments, and clearing the way for another busy daily cycle of connecting and networking. Taken together with Holtzman's discovery that levels of amyloid spiked during the day and dropped during sleep, Nettergaard's findings gave further credence to the theory that sleep might perform a housekeeping function critical for warding off diseases like Alzheimer's. These results very much support the notion that one of the roles of sleep is to actually accelerate the clearance of beta amyloid from the brain, said Nora Volko, director of the U.S. National Institute on Drug Abuse. Late last year, Laura Lewis, assistant professor of biomedical engineering at Boston University, built on Nittergard's work by matching up the ebb and flow of cerebral spinal fluid in the brain with brainwave activity, which indicates different stages of sleep. She showed that in healthy adults, during the day when the brain is active, there is less fluid bathing neurons and tissues in the organ. During sleep, and especially during deeper sleep, this solution saturates the brain in a cleansing flood. The finding reinforced Nettergaard's theory that sleeping may help clear the brain of toxic proteins that can eventually cause disease. Still, while all these discoveries are strongly suggestive, they are not what scientists would call definitive. For that, researchers need two additional pieces of evidence. First, a clear correlation between disrupted sleep patterns and a higher risk for Alzheimer's. And second, evidence that if these high-risk people improve their sleep, that risk falls. They are currently working to build those data sets, and already the results are promising. For example, Volko measured baseline amyloid levels in the brains of 20 healthy people aged 22 to 72 years, then scanned their brains again after each had a good night's sleep, and yet again after each was kept awake for about 31 hours straight. After a loss of sleep, levels of amyloid were 5% more than after adequate sleep. The spikes were concentrated in parts of the brain involved in memory and higher thinking, which are typically affected in Alzheimer's. But seeing levels of amyloid change with more or less sleep doesn't necessarily mean sleep habits are contributing to Alzheimer's. To make that case, researchers are studying people with disorders like sleep apnea or those who work night shifts or keep irregular working hours, such as first responders, pilots, and flight attendants. Studies already suggest that all of these groups are more vulnerable to Alzheimer's. The next step is to see if treatment or changes in sleep habits matters. For people with sleep apnea, for example, doctors can prescribe devices to wear during sleep to keep oxygen flowing more consistently in the brain so that they don't wake up. In shift workers, researchers want to test the impact of resetting their biological clocks to a standard day-night schedule. If these efforts lower their likelihood of developing Alzheimer's, that would make a strong case for a connection between lifelong sleep patterns and risk of dementia. Researchers also need to better understand how sleep medications and treatments like melatonin affect the dementia process. While some sleep aids promote the deeper sleep that seems to be protective against brain decline, it's not clear yet whether long-term dependence on such medications can maintain the benefit. Even while these studies are being done, many experts believe the data are already strong enough to start educating at least older people, especially those at higher risk in developing Alzheimer's, about improving their sleep habits. Yaffe, for one, already does that with her patients. Even practical sleep hygiene tips, where we teach people best practices like avoiding caffeine in the evening and darkening their room, and staying off their phones, could help them sleep better, she says. I would love to see whether this low-cost and pragmatic approach could improve cognition or prevent decline in Alzheimer's patients. She and others don't believe sleep alone can fully prevent Alzheimer's or halt its progression. But together with other therapies that could emerge to treat the disease, sleep may be a powerful way to help people lower their risk even further. It's even possible that sleep could play an important role in keeping our brains healthy in other ways, by controlling metabolism and other cellular functions behind diseases like diabetes, hypertension, and even cancer. As the latest research shows, a good night's sleep isn't a luxury. It's a critical thing for keeping the brain healthy. I was glad when Wegmans recently called me to see if I wanted to have them reserve a dose of the stronger flu vaccine specifically for seniors for me. Of course I said yes. When I next do a follow-up visit with my PCP, I will make sure that I am up to date on other vaccinations and hope that you will do the same. I leave you with wishes for good health and especially good sleep. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Squyke.